Yes, that was tremendous. We've got to keep our light shining bright, okay? All right, this morning I said that I will bring a message on taking a stand. And as we heard that song tonight, I was reminded how that every one of us need to have our light shining bright all around us. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to bring your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts from it tonight. Challenge our lives afresh in you, and have your will and way in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58. All right, I said I'd bring a message on standing for God today, and have a look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 to start with tonight. And it's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So never get discouraged, never give up, never quit, continue to stand. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. And that means exactly what it says, to have your roots down so deep that no one can shake you, no one can move you. And it's not that you're stubborn, it's just that you've got great convictions. And so be steadfast, unmovable. Don't let anything budge you, but stand firm, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And I've appreciated the time here in the weeks that I've been here and being able to preach to the kids and to the adults as well. And we've covered a fair bit of ground in the chapel time and also the devotion time here. I'll probably wrap up with a few illustrations from some of that over the past couple of weeks. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, if you'll turn there, please. Romans 5, verse 2. So we must take a stand, make a stand, and make sure we are steadfast. We spoke this morning about giving the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Give the more earnest heed and to stand fast. We spoke on that this morning. So look here in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We are disciplined by grace. And it's grace wherein we stand. And so we need to take a stand and make a stand and make sure we are standing in the grace of God, because it's his grace that saves us, it's his grace that keeps us, it's his grace that disciplines us. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Too many people are trusting in the philosophy, the intelligence, and the wisdom of men today. I've been trying to tell the young preachers and the fellows training for the preaching ministry, forget intellectualism. Intellectualism is just a big ego trip. And so we need to keep it simple so that the people can understand the simplicity of God's word and the simplicity that is in Christ. And so we go by the word of God. It's by faith we stand, and so it's not in the wisdom of men, but it's in the power of God. And so keep it simple. I was taught that many, many years ago, and I've tried to keep it as simple as I can, and I don't know whether I've told you this. I may have told you, so I'm sorry if I repeat myself on this, but I like the simplicity of the writings of Vance Havner. He's an old Baptist evangelist, and there's nothing complicated about his writings. You can even download some of that stuff on the internet. And for some of you preachers that are training, learn some lessons from that guy. I mean, I learned to cut some things out of my preaching by reading his writings. And I figured, well, if he could get the point across by doing what he does in his preaching, maybe I need to learn a few tricks too. So, yes, Vance Havner, great old preacher. And it's by grace we stand, and we don't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is the power of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So just keep it simple. Stay within the boundaries, the parameters, and within the power of the Word of God. It'll do the job. 1 Corinthians 15:1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. So we need to stand within the parameters of the gospel. And you venture outside that, I tell you what, you'll be adding things to the Word of God and taking away from the Word of God. So just keep it simple in getting the Word of God across to people, preaching in the pulpit, teaching in the Sunday school, teaching in the RE classes. Just keep it simple. Stay within the bounds of the gospel and keep it according to the wisdom of God, not according to the wisdom of man. So our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in this blessed book here. And 1 Corinthians 16:3, I'll give you some illustration shortly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. And when I come, whosoever shall reprove, ye shall approve by. That's not the verse I had planned. I've got the wrong verse. Here we go. Let's try verse 13. There we go. Got the right one now. Look in the right place. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Again, look at the points that's in there. There's a message there with at least 4 points for you, trainee preachers. Develop those points that are there. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. And so if you'll take those principles there and stand upon those things, it'll make you a better Christian. It will strengthen your faith. It will help you to stand. We fall back on the Lord Jesus Christ for our strength, for the Scripture tells us he's able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. So that is that dynamic. God is the one who enables you. He is the one that energizes you. He is the one that will help you to stand. Trust him and stand within the parameters of faith and, of course, the grace wherein we stand and, of course, the gospel. Galatians is a tremendous book. And you think how the Galatians, they drifted from the shore because they didn't keep their eye on the Lord. They started listening to the wrong people. And that's one thing you've got to be careful of. If you listen to the wrong people, you get the wrong message and it can take you astray. So you need to stand upon what you've been taught, like we said this morning. Give specific heed to the things which you've heard. Learn them and hang on to them. Galatians chapter 1, or go to 5:1. Cut out some things. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast. That means be steadfast, stand fast, unmovable. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I've seen people get sucked out of good, sound, fundamental, independent Baptist churches and good, sound, fundamental, Bible-believing churches because somebody got their ear from a cult or a liberal church, and they began to question God's word, and next thing you know, they're out of church. They're involved in some cult or some other way out group there, and they're no longer living for the Lord as they used to, but they become very, very liberal. Well, we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, Peter says they promise you liberty, but they actually make you slaves of bondage of corruption. So be careful who you listen to. Be sure you listen to the voice of God, the Spirit of God, and the man of God that preaches God's word faithfully. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are some groups that will tie you up and get you to the place where they have control of you. Not only what you do, but the way you think, and just about everything that you do is controlled by some of these groups. Be wary of that. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't be ashamed to say, I stand fast in the liberty that Christ bought for me and paid for at the cross of Calvary. Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Also, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, I'll try to do this sequentially. Ephesians chapter 6. Standing fast means like a soldier. They stand in their ranks, and I guess many of you saw the soldiers and that were at the Queen's funeral. I watched a little bit of that on my computer on one of these programs that they have, and I even saw some Aussie soldiers in there, you know that? They had some Australians there marching in that funeral procession. Wonderful to see the Australian uniform in there representing our country. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You've got to have on the armour of God, and it's for going forward. That means on the offence, not just being defensive, but on the offence. And we know the weapons are offensive, they are also defensive, but also we need to take a stand that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. Yeah, I've got a confession to make. My favourite character is Wile E. Coyote. Don't ask me why. He's got a determination about him. I know that he's a bad guy, I mean, but when you think about his determination, he never gives up. I mean, he's a loser. Fair dinkum, he's a loser, isn't he? But you know something? He never quits. He never gives up. That's one thing I admire about him, even though he gets beat up and all that sort of stuff. I said, you know, he's got some character about him. He never quits. He keeps on the job. That's about the only thing I like about him, is his stickability. If Christians could just grasp that and say, you know, I'm going to keep at it no matter what, and learn to defeat the wiles of the devil. You know, I was travelling to church the other morning, or up in Mackay, Brother Les. I got behind this this red Holden ute, and it's got a big dent in the tailgate about this long and about this wide. And so somebody has put a graphic in that dent, and guess what it is? Wile E. Coyote splattered out like this. Yeah, I know Wile E. Coyote's the bad guy, but, you know, he's got a determination. If Christians could just learn to be as determined as he is, and never to quit, never to give up, but do it in the right way, for the right reason, for the right things, for the right cause, whereas Wile E. Coyote, well, he's a bit different. He's chasing a roadrunner. I know it's just one of those cartoon things, but we need to stand fast, that's for sure, and stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13 also, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So will we be without excuse when we stand before the Lord? Will we be able to say, "I have taken my stand, I've made my stand, I've done all I can to withstand in the evil day"? Look, we are living in an evil day. It was an evil day back when Paul wrote this. And we're living in a more evil day today than ever before. Our young people, our children, and even our adults have got more temptation thrown at them. Many facets of temptation now that we've never ever faced as young people or as adults. There's so much thrown at them. Still basically boils down to the three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Do you agree with that, Brother Les? Right. The devil, you know, he might throw it out in all these different facets, but it's still the same three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So we need to put on the whole armour of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, let me move on down here so I can give you some illustrations. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul uses this phrase throughout his epistles to believers to stand fast, because, listen, they faced it rough back there in the first century as well, with all the paganism and with all the Romans and the Greek Empire and all that sort of thing that they lived in, the leftover cultures from those things were just wicked. And so Paul has to tell those people to take a stand. Well, you know, John the Baptist took a stand. I love John the Baptist. And, you know, as you look over in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, John the Baptist was one of those guys that took a stand. What a man. Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. I'll just condense these down a little bit for you. And then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Boy, that took some courage to face that crowd and call them those things by name. O generation of vipers. John the Baptist took a stand. He was a man that stood on what was right. He was a man that was raised in the desert and was hidden away for 30 years, and then he was revealed to Israel. And when he came out of the desert, they thought, wow, camel hair and camel skin and all this sort of stuff. They thought, wow. John the Baptist was different, and I mean, he was really different. He was a spokesman for God. He came to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ, the voice crying in the wilderness. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Luke 3 and verse 19. John the Baptist was a man who took a stand. Said, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. Boy, he not only pulled him into gear because he had his brother's wife, but look what it says, and for all the evils which Herod had done. John the Baptist took a stand. He told Herod, you're in the wrong. You're doing some wicked, evil things. You know something? Herod had a respect for John the Baptist. I'll show you. And that's great. If you take a stand and make a stand, they may not like you, but they will have a respect for you. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Old Herodias, she didn't like him. But old Herod, you know, he had respect for John the Baptist. And we know that because the Word of God says so. Look here in Matthew chapter 14. So if John the Baptist could take a stand against a wicked king, surely we can take a stand against the wicked society we live in. Matthew chapter 14, if you look down in verse 3 with me, Matthew 14 and verse 3, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. So yeah, Herodias didn't like him. She wanted to get rid of him. But Herod, yeah, he wasn't real keen on doing that. But as you look at Mark chapter 6, we know why he was thrown into prison. It's not because he told Herod he was doing evil things. It was because Herodias didn't like what he had told her and what he had told Herod for her sake. So here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, Mark 6 and verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John the Baptist was a man who was fearless. He was not afraid of men like King Herod and told him that he was in the wrong. He did evil things. Was to say, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. But old Herodias, she didn't like him. Look at verse 26. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. Herodias said, I want his head chopped off. So they went down and beheaded John the Baptist down there in the prison. She didn't like John the Baptist, but Herod, he had a sort of a liking for John the Baptist. He had a respect for him. He had a fear of him. And, you know, John the Baptist took a stand. But look what Herod did. Under peer pressure and trying to save face, he said, well, okay, I got to save my face. I got to, you know, yield to peer pressure. Maybe he should have just given Herodias the chop, but instead he had John the Baptist beheaded. A friend of mine in Virginia, he calls this message a drunken daddy, a dancing daughter and a mad mama. Then Acts chapter 4, if you'll turn there, please. So we can learn from men like this that were fearless. They took a stand. And in Acts chapter 4, we know the church had begun and it faced a lot of opposition as it stood and preached the gospel, and the Jews attacked the church and the people of the church. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, the apostles were thrown into prison. They were threatened, they were beaten, they were flogged. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, Acts 4 and verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You're forbidden. You can no longer teach in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, says you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Would to God we'd filled Sydney with the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like it then, and they don't like it now. And so they said, you know, you got to stop this. But Peter answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. So Peter and James and John, they had to take a stand against this sort of stuff because they were getting opposition, they were getting jailed, they were getting beaten and flogged and paying the price. Acts 5:29. Yeah, a bunch of jailbirds, these apostles, I tell you, they went out there and when they were released from prison, they said, boy, let's get out of here. No, they didn't. They went back and continued to do what they were doing. And the angel even said, go back and do what you were doing. And they went back to do what they were doing, even though they were threatened. So yeah, they took their stand. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter, with the other apostles, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They'd been forbidden to preach the gospel, and they were told to remain silent. We don't want to hear about this anymore. In fact, the hatred was so bad that Saul of Tarsus set out to try and destroy the church and as many Christians as he could. Well, look at Saul of Tarsus got saved on the Damascus Road, and guess what? He became as fearless as Peter and James and John when it came to confrontation. He also learned to take his stand against the ploys of the devil. Look at Acts chapter 13. Now, he's preaching the gospel here, and there was this sorcerer called Elymas by Jesus. And, of course, he was trying to interfere with the witness to this official. And so Paul said to him, that's verse 10. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Ooh, he called him a child of the devil. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Look at the language that's used here. Maybe we can use this sort of language in our praying for some of these people that are attacking the church and the school and Christianity and where we stand. Take it to the Lord and say, well, this is how they prayed, Lord. Would you please undertake in this manner as well? And behold, now the hand of the Lord is upon thee, verse 11, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately it fell on him a mist and a darkness. So he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Brother, that's taking a stand. You're interfering with the gospel, God strike you blind. The hand of the Lord is upon you. He was struck blind. You know what happened? Well, look at the rest, next verse. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. See, Paul took his stand against this sorcerer and he denounced him. And God used that to bring that deputy to a saving knowledge of Christ. Well, you know what I've shared with the kids in the last few weeks? Noah was a man who stood for God, you know. When the world was corrupt and God was going to destroy the world, there was one man who stood alone with his family, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man who walked with God. Noah was a man who feared God, and Noah was a man who denounced the world. Because the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, and they mocked and scoffed in the days of Noah. But Noah continued to plow on and to build on. He was a man who stood against the world. We talked about Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery, into Egypt. And yet Joseph was a young man at 17 and took his stand. He said to himself, I'm still going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right no matter what, even though my brothers sold me. Because of their jealousy, I'm still going to live for God. Even down there in the house of Potiphar, Potiphar saw that God was with him. The wife desired to have Joseph, and he said, well, I'm not going to do that. That's the wrong thing. She got upset with Joseph, and she falsely accused him, and he got thrown into prison. He took his stand in the prison. He didn't say, well, I quit on this. He continued to live for God. Same thing happened. The jailkeeper saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had taken a stand, and as you read in Joseph's life, God blessed Joseph. God promoted Joseph, and we know that he was also taken to become governor of Egypt, okay, under the rulership of Pharaoh. Why? Because he took a stand. As a young man of 17, if you're 17 years of age here tonight, you can take the same stand that Joseph did and not be influenced by Egypt. I mean, he was in there telling Egypt how to save itself from the judgment of God. And Joseph said, God is going to reveal something to you. God's trying to show you something. So live for God. Don't worry about what the world is saying. Go against the world. Live for Christ. And then, of course, Moses, we know about Moses. He went in and stood against Pharaoh and said, God's going to deal with you. He's going to kill your son if you don't let his people go. And God gave Pharaoh many, many chances. And Pharaoh wouldn't give in. And, of course, his own people come and said, you need to quit. You need to give in. Look at Egypt. It's destroyed now because you wouldn't let these people go. But Moses took his stand. He went in there. Pharaoh made fun of him. Even the Jews made fun of Moses and Aaron. And finally, the night of the Passover, God kept his promise. The Passover lamb was slain. And the stand that Moses had taken right from the very outset proved that God was going to do what God was going to do. And that night, Pharaoh lost his firstborn son. And so the firstborn in Egypt died that night. And so Moses took his stand. And, of course, he had to face his own people out there in the wilderness. You talk about a bunch of rebellious Jews. They bickered and bellyached and complained and whinged. And you've only got to read 1 Corinthians 10. God had to deal with them. Moses had to deal with them. But Moses stood. He stood firm. And God honored that. You know, God blessed Moses. But thank God for men like Moses who stood. We talked about Elijah. We talked about Micaiah. These guys confronted Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in the Word of God, and confronted him about his wickedness, told him about the judgment of God that was going to fall on him. But hey, they endangered their own life confronting this guy and telling him, thus and thus saith the Lord. You'll have to take your stand sometimes to tell people what God's Word says. And it may come at a price. Micaiah was thrown into prison and threatened that Ahab said, when I come back, I'm going to deal with you. Micaiah said, well, if you come back, I'm not a prophet of God. He wasn't coming back. He was all washed up. Well, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he stood against the religious leaders. He took a stand. And I mean, the religious leaders, they were against him. I've got several messages. I've preached one here, how that he was forsaken, the forsaken Christ, and how he's betrayed by his own people. But you think about Jesus. He took his stand against the religious leaders, and they didn't like him. They accused him of speaking blasphemy. They said he works for the devil. Said that, you know, he's empowered by Satan. They made all these false accusations, but Jesus stood up, and he denounced them for what they were. He said, you know, the works that I do speak of who I am and where I came from. And the people saw that. And that embarrassed the religious leaders. Why? Because they could not do what the Son of God was doing. And he empowered his disciples to go out and perform miracles and cure people and heal people. And the religious leaders of the day couldn't do that. You know what they said? We've got to get rid of him. He's an embarrassment. But Jesus took his stand against these people. Like it says in Matthew 23:33, says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Jesus took his stand. Hey, if our Savior took his stand, we need to take a stand too. Don't weaken and don't get wishy-washy and go soft. Continue to take a firm stand on the Word of God. And in closing, two more lots of things. That's Daniel. Daniel took a strong stand right from the very outset. Daniel outlived, I think, five kings. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. I know there was Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. There's at least five kings in Daniel's life. You know what? They had respect under Daniel. And they promoted Daniel to the place where he was a ruler in Babylon and in Medo-Persia. And the people he was promoted over. They didn't like that. They were jealous of that. And they wanted to get Daniel done away with by having him thrown in the den of lions. How'd they do that? They changed the law. You know, if they can't win, they change the law to get back at us. And that's what they're doing in our country too. They're trying to change the law where they can get back at us to silence us and to give us retribution. That's why we need to be strong and oppose them for what they are doing. Then, of course, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took their stand. We see that there in the opening chapters with the food that they were offered, and they said, we can't defile ourselves with this sort of food. And then, of course, when they were poured out there to bow down and worship the image that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we cannot do that. That would violate our faith. Everybody else was bowing down, worshipping this great big golden image. But these three lone figures stood out there. When everybody was bowing down, these three lone figures stood up as, what are they doing standing up? Everybody's bowing down. And so they were thrown into that burning fiery furnace. And what did they say? Well, you know, if are you going to throw us into the burning fiery furnace? If that's where God wants us, we're willing to go. And so they threw him into the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, we threw three in there. He said, can I see four? One of them looks like the Son of God. And so let's take our stand in an evil day and let's do all that we can to stand and let's not be ashamed of what the world throws at us. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the tremendous message in song here tonight. I pray, Lord, you continue to use the folks here at Southern Cross. Bless in the missions trip coming up as well. Have your will and way in the NBF this week as well. Pray, Lord, you watch over Owen and the children as they travel down tomorrow. Be with us now as we close this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my brother.